This is the Tangerine Dream Team show still, and we've been listening to Stephen Graves in hot anticipation for our guest in the studio, which is here right now, Kid Valance. Hi, Kid.
Hey, how are you?
It's great you could be here.
Yeah, I'm doing pretty good. So you have come straight from camping, right? Came straight from you telling us.
Yeah, we had a beautiful stay on Sand Dollar Beach, but before that we were at the Hardly Strictly Bluegrass Festival hanging out with my old buddy Joe Ely.
Let me tell everyone a little bit about you.
All right.
I'll read a little bit and you can fill in. It says you were always singing to 45s when you grew up, to the Beatles, Stones, Motown, and you started performing after you went to Southern California,
right.
Played some small acts, and that was in the 70s. So you had a lead singing gig I'm not sure who that was.
I was in a series of absolute garage bands where we even played in the garage for driveway parties in San Clemente and up and down the coast a little bit. And for a Kentucky boy, that was pretty damn special, you know.
That's great. And you started fronting for the Roosters, became much sought after lead singer for rock and roll and R&B acts, opening for bands like the Johnny Winter Group. And you started writing your own original music?
I was really happy with the Roosters as a band. We did obscure covers. We did things that we had never heard anyone else cover. That was kind of my rule there. But I had to kind of branch out. The punk rock movement hit me really hard, and I was very inspired by what the Sex Pistols and the Clash were doing. And for being absolutely dissatisfied with the way things were and too much energy to put anywhere else, it was a great way to start my own little campaign, my own little philosophy, and that was writing songs. So I picked up a guitar pretty late, but I was able to write my own stuff on the guitar, and then I started a few little bands, and I've been trying to do my original since then.
And the latest thing you've been doing is doing your own solo tour?
Yeah, I've done quite a few just things with the guitar. I'm not really a guitarist. I'm a singer-songwriter who gets away with playing my own songs on the guitar, but I put in tens of thousands of miles just playing solo, and that's one of my favorite things to do is just traveling, just moving on. One of my songs, I say, I feel most at home when I'm on the road.
Yeah. And you want to talk about what you've also done for the Sacred Run?
Absolutely. Actually, it was when I was with the Roosters in Cincinnati, Ohio, and I've been a runner my whole life. Even when I was a little boy, I always felt some kind of connection with the earth and with me as an animal, a spiritual animal, and running. And it was never a competitive thing. It was just something that I did. Even when I was a little boy, I would go out at dusk and run around the blocks and just feel like an absolute wonderful animal and felt connected with the earth. Before I knew that there was a tradition for native running that went back tens of thousands of years. And once in Cincinnati, Ohio, I happened to be in an old friend's record store, just a bunch of 45s, just a vinyl store. And he was talking to an elder gentleman, and he said, hey, Emmett, I want you to meet Kid. Kid's a singer, but he's been a runner. He's also a runner. And Emmett Eastman was the spiritual leader of Sacred Run at the time, which is an international and native event that Dennis Banks founded in 1978. And it's about the natives thinking that, you know, they are the stewards of the earth because they lived here for so long in a good way. And Dennis thought, well, instead of just having press conferences, we would bring back the tradition of spirit running, and we would carry the message on foot in the best way possible. And the saying with Sacred Run, what we held close to our heart, was every step a prayer, every mile a ceremony. So we tried to cover every foot, every inch of all those miles in between in a good way. And I started my first run across Canada in 91, and I did it for a lot of years, until about 20 years. And my last Sacred Run event was the 30-year anniversary in 2008 of the Longest Walk, which was a very important journey for Native rights. And I still feel very connected to spiritual running. I don't think I would ever think about doing anything else as an organized event where spirituality is involved, but I still feel like a runner. I still feel like that connection is in me, and I never want to lose that. So, combining my songwriting, I actually wrote some songs during Sacred Run events and as a tribute kind of for Sacred Run, and I even wrote a song for The Longest Walk. It was 5 months, and so each stretch I would kind of gather the feeling of the country, where we were, the people around us in whatever state we were in, and I was able to take 5 months and write a few words here and there that became an 8-verse song. And I guess the most intense event I did in 1996, we ran across the country, and it wasn't a relay. Each of us ran 30 miles a day. And 35 runners were invited, and 19 of us started, and six of us, and I was one of the ones lucky enough to finish running for 104 days all the way across the country. And that was a very intense, amazing thing. None of us really knew that we could do that. I don't believe that we could hold up running 180 miles a week with just a rest day after 4 days. But six of us were able to, and it's the way you see the country, like no other way.
And how long did that take?
We were 104 days on the road, including the rest days. So the first day, adrenaline can get you through anything. And I trained as much as I could, but there's no way to train for running more than a marathon every day. It has to be something that comes from within while you're doing it. And by the third day, we were all limping, and by the fourth day, we were absolutely exhausted. And then we had a rest day, and we started all over again. And it was kind of amazing because when it was over, I missed the focus and I missed that energy I was expending so much that I went into a tailspin. I didn't know what to do with myself because I didn't know where to put all this energy. But it was an experience I would never take back. It was amazing.
And you were inspired to write a long song about one song about that?
I wrote about 96. I'd love to play it for you. It's a little two-chord song, but it's a very big two-chord song, really. And it was about one day running between Salome, Arizona, and Wickenburg, with a couple, with a mother and a daughter, who were following along with us on their horses. And every runner who finished the 30 miles that day finished before the two horses did.
Would we love to hear that?
Okay,
yeah.
Great.
Yep, we all would.
This song is called Two Horses, All Nations as One.
Take it away.
What can I tell you about that April day? When I ran with two horses, names of Buddy and Charlie. Buddy was the gray one. I smell the morning, it fuels my dreams. Well, the air is still crispy from the night. With the sun still half asleep, I see a bird and it screams, and I know in my heart it is a prayer. We were running strong, our colors flying in the wind, to take our message
kids in a good way has won across the land. As the smoke curls up from our fire and the night drifts in kinda slow, we give thanks for the miles that we've traveled. We give thanks for the miles left to go. We were running strong, our colors flying in the wind, to take our message in a good way has won across the land. We were running strong and free, with what we carry so proudly, all nations as one across the land. What can I tell you about that April day when I ran with two horses, names of Buddy and Charlie? Buddy was the gray one.
Yeah. Very nice.
Thank you.
Very good. Very good. Very good.
It was just one episode, you know, but it kind of encapsulized what it felt like to cross that country, especially in the desert.
Yeah, I can envision that as you're, you know, running, you could feel all these feelings, thoughts, and see pictures and all kinds of
absolutely
occur to you.
That's the way that even when I'm not on a spiritual event or a run, that's the way that I get my lyrics. Is I get a riff in my head and a vocal line in my head, and I just let the miles go by and let the words flow through.
That's really good. Have you got another one right away? You want to?
I do.
Lay on?
I do. Yeah. In 2006, on a Sacred Run event, I tried to kind of encapsulize everything about Sacred Run, the tenets of Sacred Run, and I was lucky enough to be practicing it one day when an elder named Paul Owns the Saber came over and said, "That's pretty good, kid. You know what you have to call that song? You have to call it the Sacred Circle." And I don't think I would have called it something that grandiose because I didn't feel like I had the right to, but when Lakota Elder tells me I can do that, I said, "Well, thank you. I'll keep that in mind." So, this is about Sacred Run and what it means. I run, I walk, I pray for land and life. For our ancestors, for the future generations, for the sacred places, to protect the four-legged and the winged creatures, to preserve the old ways, to respect the elders, and for peace. We come from all over this world. Many nations, ages, colors, faiths, to unite in our common purpose, to run and walk and pray for our belief that our life is sacred, we are all related, and we must help our Mother Earth in the sacred circle. To the four directions, we give our prayers for Mother Earth.
for land and life, for our ancestors, for the future generations, for the sacred places, to protect the four-legged and the winged creatures, to preserve the old ways, to respect the elders, and for peace. Pass, pox, hewa! We come from all over this world. Many nations, ages, colors, faiths, to unite in our common purpose, to run and walk and pray for our belief that our life is sacred, we are all related, and that we must help our Mother Earth. In the sacred circle, to the four directions, we give our prayers for Mother Earth. In the sacred circle, to the four directions, our life is sacred.
Oh, very inspiring.
Thank you. Thank you.
Do you have a question, Cindy?
Hi.
Yeah.
What did she
say?
Hello.
Hi, kid. Boy, that was beautiful. It really touched my heart.
Thank you so much.
I felt so present with what you were sharing. The songs were so evocative. I felt like in the first song, I was right there. And the fire and the sunset is dusk.
That's nice.
It was beautiful.
I try to get something that will evoke the visuals because that's where it touches me. And I want to share that with the people that weren't on the events, you know. I mean, I want to share it with the people who don't get a chance to do those things. So I try to take a lot of care with my words.
I can tell.
Thank you.
I can tell you must think through exactly what to say to bring that sense of presence. I just felt it. And I love being around the fire, hiking and camping. I've never been on a run. I can only imagine. And you were sharing before you came on about the energy involved in running and how you miss that after the run. Could you say a little bit more about that?
Right.
That intensity. I wanted to.
I think it's the only time in my life that I've ever been able to use all of my tools. The running part, physically running, I've always been good at. I ran track and I ran long distance before. People used to, you know, think about it being, I guess Frank Shorter was the first, the guy that invented running became the first marathoner. But I was running 20 miles when I was in high school. So I came naturally to that part of it. But the rest of it was about carrying the message in a good way and being spiritual while you ran. And also, like when a lot of people are involved in any events, you have to be very patient. You have to be very strong. Mm-hmm. You have to be able to sleep in gymnasiums on a floor. You have to do things that other people don't really get to get out of their comfort zone. Mm-hmm. And when you do all those things for months at a time, the comfort doesn't feel comforting. It feels suffocating. Mm-hmm. It feels like you need to get out of that. So thank you for asking about that.
Yeah, that also, I can feel that as well in you. How do I explain that? There's a flexibility, almost like you're Tai Chiing wherever you are, you know? Another friend of ours here, Tori, if you want to say hi, Tori.
Hi.
Hi.
Good to be here.
Great. Well, I'm just real impressed with what you're sharing, and you bring the truth of what it is to be a sacred runner, what I would imagine, with real integrity.
Thank you.
And the second song was the Sacred Circle.
Sacred Circle.
Boy,
right.
That too. You spoke so eloquently about the ancestors and how important they are
to our reality, our presence. They constantly are with us, and it's important to remember the land and how important that respect for the land.
Absolutely.
Honoring all of our relatives, winged ones, four-legged. I mean, you sing through your songs, it's spoken about so eloquently and succinctly.
Well, thank you. It took about 20 years for those things to kind of boil down through all my events to be able to depict or at least give a good idea of what each of those issues is and how much how important they are. It's hard to talk about very important things in simple language, and so that's a kind of a lesson. You know, it took me a long time to be able to say those things out loud instead of just feeling it or being in a ceremony. And this is like a way that I was able to share it with more people, and hopefully just as powerfully, because I think it's all about communication. So the more straightforward and simpler you can say something that still holds that truth, the better.
What do you think inspires you to continue writing and performing?
I think I must come by it in the right way, because I do it for my art. I do it because I can't do anything else. I can't not do it. I haven't had, you know, mainstream success or anything like that, but I have enough people who want to hear what I'm doing next, and I always have a place I can travel to play. And this is a pretty damn good example of it here. This is amazing, this little studio and what you guys are doing. This is this is so much fun, and it's also very, very powerful. I appreciate being here. So,
well, I want to thank Coral for letting
you
come on briefly.
Oh, yeah, thank you. Thanks, Janaea.
Oh, yeah. I used to have a show here. I'll be on periodically, but something else.
Are you in? How would you like to proceed? Do you have more songs for us?
I do. I'm going to do a song that I've only played in public two times before for you guys, and it was the song that I wrote for The Longest Walk, 30-year anniversary. And this is the one that I said that I wrote a little bit at a time as I went across the country. And it tells about the beginning of the song, where we started. And I only performed it at the end of the event on stage in Washington, D.C. Tori was there for that show. And the second time I got to perform it, I was invited to be the featured artist at Grandma Aggie, Agnes Baker Pilgrim's 88th birthday party up in Tacoma in Selma, Oregon. So that was a very great honor, and so I brought this song back out. And I knew down here this would be a sensitive enough area for me to do these songs and get appreciation, because I don't do these songs at bars. I don't do these songs when I play out at nightclubs, because they're too special for me. So I will do the song that I wrote for The Longest Walk.
So, love to hear it.
Is this the first time you've performed these songs?
I've never done this for a radio show, and I've never done this for any other audience. I've only done it at the end of The Longest Walk and for Grandma Aggie's birthday party.
That's great.
Thank you.
Okay.
And you never know how songs are going to come out. And I sat around a campfire one night with some lyrics in my head, and my guitar made the song into a waltz. And so I don't know how that happened. We don't have much room here, but if anybody wants to waltz, that's fine. This is called One Heart, Many Miles.
All right. Kid Valance.
In the dark morning hours on Alcatraz Island, with ceremony we began. Our number was great, our spirit was strong, as our circle moved across this land. Where the fruit for the nation comes from the soil, endless trees, one heart, many hands. The Creator has made it
We're from the same roots. All above, all below, sacred land. Up over the high desert, down in the canyons, the rivers, the mountains, and the plains. For the ways of the old ones, there were reasons. Times change, but the reasons remain. To be part of the prayers of our ancestors, in our walk, in our ways, do we strive. As we work to protect what is holy, sacred dreams, one heart, many lives. As the rain lays in lace upon Mother Earth, and the water's a bowl filled with sky, there's the call of a crow, and it lifts to a rainbow and shows us the way as it flies. We are connected to all those before us, and in the drums their spirits still dance. For the ways of the old ones were reasons, and we're blessed that we still have the chance. My favorite songs are all those sung with a passion by people who care. And my favorite color to remember is red for the blood we all share. So now as one journey ends, we embrace through the tears and the smiles. Sacred dreams, one heart. Endless dreams, one heart. Many miles. One heart. Many miles.
Oh, that song moved me very much.
Thank you.
Because although we all share many miles, we don't think of it. We think of ourselves individually, but we are one heart. We all cover the same ground, Eventually, different times, different places, different ways.
We do. And Sacred Run and Sacred Run events, we just had a little more help with the focus because we were all traveling as a group. But, we were kind of the tip of the iceberg, too, because we had people all across the country praying for us and giving us food. And we were kind of the lucky ones. We were the ones that got to go. We were the ones that got to actually travel the miles on foot, but it was a huge prayer crossing the land, and that's the way it feels when it's right. So,
it's amazing. Can you say a little bit more about the Sacred Walk and how it started?
Oh, I'm sorry. Can you say a little bit more about the Sacred Walk and its history and how you became involved?
Well, the Sacred Run started in 1978 from Dennis Banks trying to spread the message that natives...
Who's Dennis Banks?
Dennis Banks is the co-founder of the American Indian Movement and a native leader and teacher. And he's been my friend now for about 20 years. And he was very, very instrumental in keeping native people's rights through the longest walk the first time around in 1978. by abrogating a bunch of things in Congress that were going to go through to lose their rights. And, you know, one major thing, good or bad, is there would be no casinos on Indian land, and there would not be that income had Dennis not got all those signatures and had that as a focus for the first longest walk, which was a very shoestring thing that picked up a lot of good people along the way. One interesting thing to me was I was only out of high school for a few years in 1978. I wasn't able to participate in that. I think I was living in Florida, but one of my heroes growing up, Muhammad Ali, took a huge interest in it and helped them out a lot. And Ali was, you know, always first in integrity, always first, you know, as Cassius Clay losing his license and then later on standing up for everyone's rights. And so growing up in Kentucky, I didn't seem to have that many heroes. So when you have somebody like Muhammad Ali and you get to see, you know, what he does, how he stands by his word and that kind of thing, it was amazing. And so that was kind of my first connection with some of these guys, these movers and shakers, you know. And Dennis is still very active, doing a lot of speaking things and stuff like that. But Sacred Run for me was absolutely on my page because I was a runner and I was a very spiritual person. I wasn't religious. I didn't have any of that. But I just knew there was a connection with the earth and me running and, you know, being non-native and finding a tradition that let me do what I already knew was important was a very powerful thing. So
well, how did you actually get involved? What was your, I'm just curious, how you actually met Dennis and became a part of...
When I met Emmett Eastman, the elder at my friend's record store, he said, you know, kid's a runner, come and talk to kids. So we started talking, and then I went to hear a lecture by Dennis at Northern Kentucky University. And the next event was going to be Canada. So I went to a ceremony, my first Native ceremony ever, and they invited me to come across Canada with them. So that was a beautiful way to live, and it's an absolutely amazing thing to see a country on foot, especially when you know you're doing the right thing. We weren't tourists. We were praying for the earth as we ran. And we ran through a lot of Native communities, a lot of Canadian reservations and things like that, and we saw so much culture dying from lack of interest from young people and from just, you know, outer kind of distractions and things like that. So the thing that I got from Sacred Run is the most important thing is to keep ceremony strong and, you know, keep it in your heart and walk the walk and do it all the way. Put everything into it, and you'll get it all back, you know. So I was really lucky that it was something that I loved doing anyway, which was the running part. And so, like to me, I said I got to use all my tools, and I felt the most alive getting to do that. So that's why it was very special.
It's a powerful journey.
Very powerful journey. Yeah, we're a lot of your sacred songs. After you started running, what I wanted to ask was, were you writing sacred songs or
not
inspired that way?
Not until I got involved with Sacred Run. I had no idea how to kind of get that part of me out. My first songs were kind of, you know, a little bit political, but more of my own personal philosophy, which I still do every day. I try to say what I'm thinking. One of my very first songs was about the hunger strike in Ireland, at Bobby Sands. That touched me right to my heart. So I always wanted to try to get a message out there, but it wasn't until I ran with Sacred Run that I was able to sit around the drum and I was able to live that life for long enough that I felt like I had a right to say something about it. So it took a lot of years, you know, 20 years of running and 3 songs is all that came out of it. So they were very special things to me. So,
well, we'd love to hear anything more that you have to offer.
I'd love to do that.
So,
This is a song with an intro that is inspired by my time around the drums, I think. Someone said it sounded like a cross between the Beatles in 1965 and Joe Ely. And he didn't know that Joe was a friend of mine, so I love that.
There
this is a song called Harsh Flame. Harsh flame. Only the strongest last out the game. But in this world, you gotta keep trying. In this old world, you gotta try. Love is shadowed by the bright lights that can make you blind. On the clearest night, I pass people laughing, people talking. I could be lost, but I'm still walking. Horses get broke, bottles get broke, lives break like thunder. We sail off like a ship in the night through skies filled with lightning. Yes. Angels get that view from the top. Don't take away the pain by making your world stop. Our path is to care through the madness. We're painters and days are the canvas. Love is tempered by a harsh flame. You can walk in the sunshine with your soul in the rain. But in this world, you gotta keep trying. In this old world, you gotta try.
Wonderful.
Thank you.
Thank you, kid.
Appreciate it.
Yeah. That was written when?
That was actually written about 6 years ago when I was in Austin. Mm. And the funny thing was I was walking from the Continental Club to the Cactus Cafe. And so all the bright lights and all the happy people and all that. And I just had that message going and went to a friend's CD release party and wrote this on napkins at the bar and didn't hear a note that was being played on stage.
Yeah.
So it's the way that focus goes, you know.
Those are good times when you have such a driving inspiration like that.
It is. It is. It's very powerful.
So you were talking about Joe Ely and you were saying that she had just gotten back from Hardly Strictly show?
Yeah. The Flatlanders played there, which is Joe's old band from Lubbock that he's... I think they did it in they got together in 1970, and he likes to say that, you know, it was 30 years between their first album and their second album, and that's with Jimmy Dale Gilmore and Butch Hancock, and they're just all amazing people. I've known Joe for 20 something years. It's an interesting story about how I met Joe. I was on the Clash bus. And I was a huge Clash fan, but Joe Strummer was kind of my hero. So I had my first real electric guitar, a 74 Fender Telecaster. And so I got on the Clash bus, and Joe Strummer carved his name in the back of my guitar. And we talked for a long time, and he actually asked me, "Do you know Joe Ely?" And I said, "I just know his name. I know he opened for you guys, you know." And he says, "You got to go look up Joe Ely. You got to go look up Joe Ely." So he put me on a mission. And a few months later, where I was living, Joe came through with his band, and we hit it right off. And I've known him, you know, been come to see him play every time. He's, you know, he's always just been a great inspiration for me. And I'd like to say that Joe Ely kind of taught me through his wonderful intensity and his great way with lyrics how to get my point across without yelling, you know, because I started off as a blues singer. I was always a shouter, you know. So it was great to see his dynamics and his stage presence. And he's also encouraged me from the beginning, you know. Even back in the day, I used to send Joe cassettes of my songs, hoping it would fit on one of his MCA albums or something like that. So that's been a long time ago, you know. So it's great
to
see him. It's great to catch up with him once a year or something like that.
Hmm. What are your plans in the next few weeks or months for music?
Well, for the first time ever, I have some videos from a live performance on YouTube. So it's taken a long time for me to get, you know, dragged kicking and screaming into this age. But now I have wider access. I got to open for another Texas singer-songwriter named Robert Earl Keen in Grants Pass, Oregon. And we got some really nice video out of it, the live stuff. And I was lucky enough to get another great Texas songwriter named Patrick Dodd to see the videos and write some amazing things on the comments. Patrick is from the old days with Towns Van Zandt and Blaze Foley.
Oh, yeah.
And those guys, and the Kerrville. And so that was really, really something. If nothing else about this video project on YouTube, that was it. That was enough. That would just, you know, lit me right up. So I'm gonna keep trying that, and I'm going to actually try to make some conceptual videos for some recordings that I'm going to do for YouTube. Maybe not things I've already done with bands, maybe something new, but I'm going to try to look into having the lyrics on the screen.
Right.
Maybe with photos, things like that, just that kind of...
Maybe self-accompaniment is great, too,
right,
for people to hear you, see you, get the cameras on you, yeah.
That's what I want to do. It's kind of a new art form for me. I've been traveling and singing and playing, but the visual part is really interesting to me.
Like Robert Mirabelle.
More questions?
I have to leave, actually.
Oh, okay. Well, tell me what you want to say.
I truly enjoyed this, and I just feel the strength of the ancestors truly rejoicing in your eloquence and your voice. You do, you can tell that your heart is speaking.
Well,
yeah, it's a good sound vibration.
Thank you.
I could feel that in the heart.
Thank you, Santa Cruz.
What? Would you like to...
Do you have any CDs that people could possibly purchase somewhere, or where else have you performed?
Well, what I'm hoping is people will look up the videos on YouTube right now and maybe leave comments, and maybe just keep in mind that I'm going to be doing a little bit more of that, and I'll have some product and some tours coming up in the future. So... the song that I did tonight, Harsh Flame. Harsh Flame is one of the videos. And then there's a 27-minute full performance.
Yeah.
I just like, if anybody heard me here tonight, would just look me up on YouTube and check out the videos and keep me in mind when I come to your town and when I come to any place you might know.
Oh, yeah. It would be great to hear you and see you on stage around Santa Cruz. I could envision that.
I can see coming here again. I've been treated so well, and I love it so much. And I'm in a little bit of a temporary situation right now that I have to take care of, being a caretaker of a property that's on the market. So I'm kind of going to be a free agent, and I can't think of a better place to be than here.
That sounds great.
Keep everyone
yeah.
As a
right. Yeah.
In this
okay. So what else you got for us?
I have a brand new song that I haven't played in public yet, but this seems like the place to do it.
Okay, we'd love to hear that. Hold on. What's this called?
This is called Of the Light.
Kid Balance.
Maybe that's the key to heaven. I still live on the scraps. I found the freedom of giving. I'm still willing to ride. Maybe willing to die. Take my wherewithal and try. Lest I curse the dying of the light. Life is built on debris. We still rise to the occasion. Thought is tough, words are free. We take a stand despite abrasions. I'm still willing to fight. Some of my views change with the tide. Take my wherewithal and ride. Lest I curse the dying of the light. Confusion. Foot the path, find the ways. The strongest winds can't shake the stars. Take the cross and give it sails. Leave the blood, shed the nails. Fly to the sun you think is right. Lest I curse the dying of the light.
Very good.
Thank you.
I like that. I like all of it. Yeah. Yeah. You write very well, play very well.
Thank you, Coral.
So there is any other comments? I'm not sure in the room here.
Were you wanting to state anything?
We're notorious V in the house.
That's right.
Okay, introducing Tori.
Hey, kid. Thanks for playing for us, and we hope to see you here in Santa Cruz. Just wanted to say from a Native perspective, it's really meaningful, you know, for you to run for the seven generations, because that's important to us all.
Well, thank you, Tori. It
touches all of us. I like how you describe yourself. Why don't you state that again? The singer-songwriter. Go ahead.
Well, I call myself a rebel poet, spirit runner, mystic warrior, gypsy soul. I put that in a song, and it is a definitive kind of way, you know, to describe myself, because I have a few different aspects, but they all seem to kind of go along the same lines, you know. Singer, fighter, never soldier. Right.
Perfect. Yeah, definitely. Come out and play some gigs for us out here so we can see your whole set. We'd really love that.
I'd love to, and the more I see of Santa Cruz in this area, the more I love it. So I feel at home already, so thank you so much for the invitation, and thank you for the radio show, Cora.
Oh, my pleasure. Glad you could be here finally to perform live.
Thanks.
So this time for one more, and probably more if you need and would like, if you have the time, I mean. But especially if you have one last good one, I'd love to.
I'll do a little love song called Magdalena.
Great.
Magdalena, why do you wear your hair like you used to? When I was just a boy trying to win your favor, please. Remember me, my Magdalena. Well, it was summer, you see, and the cactus was in bloom when I saw her. I was spun away by the magic of her beauty. Well, I would swear that she smiled right at me. When the silver weighed heavy in my bags and the pistol on my hip, Lord, why'd I ever think them precious? They were bait for trouble, Magdalena. And the bottle, it was the worst, it was the devil. I was deaf and I was blind. It made me weak and it made you look so mean. What a waste, my Magdalena. Felicita, when you still held my hand, I could carry the weight of the world or plow the fields just to sit at your table. Where did it go, my Felicita? Well, my mama used to stroke my brow and tell me I was fine. Well, I want to believe, I still want to believe that she's back there somewhere telling her boy he's good. God, I miss her. With those yellow curtains that were in the house where I grew up,
It's been gone for 36 years, so why should I still see them blowing gently? Good night, my Magdalena.
Thanks. That was beautiful.
Thank you. You're very welcome. This has been a pleasure and an honor. Thank you, Cora.
So, yeah, I'm glad that Kit Valance came on the show tonight. Singer, fighter, never soldier. And hope to hear you back after rousing reviews. Because I know you'll get them.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate it all, so thank you.
Yeah, let us know what happens and, your next, important interview and performance. And we would love to have you again, if you'll have us.
If no one knows, this wonderful little studio here has got such a spirit. It's just amazing. So anybody who gets a chance to come down here, please do. This feels absolutely great.
I'm glad that you said that.
Thanks.
We would probably like to get your particular afterwards. Get your we'd like to hear your voice. Give us credit. We'd like to get
I'd be
your
proud.
Promo.
I'd be very proud. I'll do that.
Thanks.
Sure.
I finally got that out. Yeah, your songs are very moving and keep us real tuned in and. So, hope to hear from you again and have a really great night.
Okay, thanks
again.
Thanks again, Coral. It's been great.
This has been the Tangerine Dream Team show with Kit Valance.